2/3 of the people in the world don't know anything about Jesus Christ. Many of the remaining 1/3 don't know how to be saved. How are they going to find out? Only when believers share their faith and tell them the way. If you are a Christian, are you doing your part? Jesus said in John 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now this statement provoked two questions among the listeners. Verse 34. First, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?" And secondly, "Who is this Son of Man?" Now the first question was theological. The Jews understood that the lifting up of Christ meant the cross. The difficulty over which they stumbled was that the Messiah should suffer and die. They could not reconcile what he said with the Old Testament scriptures. The second question was personal. They considered it a contradiction between Christ's teaching regarding the Messiah and what they had been taught from the Old Testament. Thus, they were unable to accept a crucified, suffering Messiah. They expected him to come and reign in power as a mighty monarch at his first advent. Our Lord answered their questions, but not directly, verses 35 and 36. "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." Now, as far as we know, Christ concluded his public ministry with these words, appealing to the listening Jews to become his followers immediately. Christ was the light of the world in whom they should place their trust. But the light was soon to depart by means of the cross and later the ascension. Now was their time to believe. Verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Now a miracle may bring one to the place where he recognizes the power of God, but beyond this there must be a sincere heart commitment to Jesus Christ. Our Lord performed scores of miracles, but as John declared, yet they believed not on him. The attitude of the Jews toward Christ had been prophesied centuries before by the prophet Isaiah. Notice verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Now, this does not mean that the people believed not on him so that the prophecy of Isaiah could be fulfilled. Rather, it confirmed it, assuring us of the truth of the scriptures. The question asked by John, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" also begins Isaiah chapter 53, a chapter completely ignored by the majority of Jews for centuries, and might also be translated, "No one believes our report." God foresaw the hardness of human hearts, even as he gave this remarkable Old Testament prophecy regarding the suffering and death of his beloved Son. The arm of the Lord is really the power of the Lord. God has provided redemption through his mighty power, but in spite of this, man chooses the way of the flesh and ignores the life directed by the Holy Spirit. The next several verses seem to provide confusion for many, verses 39 and 40. "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Now, a casual reading of these verses would suggest fatalism, that the Jews who rejected Christ could do nothing else because Isaiah prophesied this would be their lot. The word "therefore" is really "on account of this." That is, because of the refusal of the Jews to believe, as shown in verse 38, they could not believe. This is the judgment that falls upon those who habitually resist the grace and kindness of the Lord. One of the most notable examples of such an experience is that of Pharaoh. We read that God hardened his heart. But before Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God, he had hardened his own heart against God. Well, the same is found in the New Testament. After God's revelation of himself, we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." The outcome was that God gave them up. Three times this statement is given to impress upon us that one's heart may be hardened and his eyes closed to the truth if he is habitually turning his face from the Lord. "These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." Now this refers to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Lord, as used here, is Jehovah. Isaiah saw Jehovah. How could this be? For Jehovah God had declared in Exodus 33, verse 20, "No man shall see me and live." John made it clear that it was Christ's glory that Isaiah saw, and that Isaiah spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Whether these of whom John writes had experienced salvation is difficult to decide. Yet from some we have met in our day who are like them, we must concede that it was possible for them to be true believers. They were fearful of being excommunicated, choosing to have a good standing in the synagogue rather than to be true to their convictions. They neglected to bear witness to Christ. In this connection, we must not overlook the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Let's not be silent Christians. God will give us the boldness and courage if we ask him for it. Of course, if you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, you have nothing to witness to. The Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you have Jesus in your heart and you're really saved, born of the Holy Spirit, my friend, you're not going to keep quiet about Jesus Christ. You're going to share this great truth that's burning in your heart. You're going to tell people how to be saved through Jesus Christ. That's why I say, don't be a silent Christian. But if you're not speaking for Jesus, it could be. I'm not saying it must be. It could be that Christ is not in your life. Make certain. Examine yourself. See whether you're in the faith. Father, I pray for God's people today, Lord, that we shall not be silent. Help us to speak out for Jesus and tell people about Jesus so that they can come to him and know the joy we possess in him. Have your way in our lives, I pray. Do a work in our hearts today. Set us on fire through the Holy Spirit, for I pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen.